Hey, all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers! Hi, Susie! What's up?
Hi, Barbara. Hi, groomers. Welcome to episode 142 of the Groom Pod, recorded on November 19th, 2017 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This week on the Groom Pod, we're going to talk a little bit about cutting out and cutting through mats. We are going to learn about accelerated hydrogen peroxide, and we'll chat a little bit about doing pads. So if you'd like to join our discussion, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/thegroompod. You can subscribe to the Groom Pod on Stitcher and iTunes, Google Play, pretty much everywhere you can find podcasts, but not everywhere that you can find podcasts, apparently. Sometimes some of the podcast generating apps do not find us. I'm not exactly sure why, but Stitcher does, iTunes does, Google Play does. So kind of start there and go from there. So you can find all things Groom Pod related, including our Amazon banner, our donation button, and the all-new Patreon button at www.thegroompod.com. Share us with your grooming pals, and because we love that, and continue to support our sponsors. What's new this week? Brought to you by Barbara's Shopping Site. Shop for specialty grooming items at www.shop.beaver.biz. Shop with a groomer. It's good karma. All right, Barbara, we're at the week of Thanksgiving. So by the time this show releases, Thanksgiving will be in the bag and we will be done with part of the holidays and on to the Christmas rush. So how are things going for you?
Oh, the business is pretty good. I've got a lot of my winter visitors are here. My winter residents are here. So Hunter the Scotty is back, and Maccabee the Soft Coated Wheat Terrier is back, and Maccabee's every 2 weeks. So, you know, the schedule is kind of filling out again, and that's reassuring because I've had a couple of pretty slim months.
I know what that's like.
Hey, an interesting thing happened to me yesterday, because remember last week we passed in order to do the dealing with customer complaints webinar. Well, I had a customer complaint.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was so seamless that it didn't even seem to be it wasn't even confrontational for me. Now I've come a long way in my ability to respond professionally to complaints. And so this was Milton the Schnauzer.
Oh, no.
Milton the Schnauzer, usually the young daughter co-ed type who attends the university here, brings him in.
Right.
And I rarely see the adults in the family, but the husband and wife brought him in. So that was a clue that it was a little different.
And this is the challenging puppy, right?
Yeah, this is the puppy that's so difficult. And we'll talk more about him because he's just an example of so much that's wrong. But anyway, they came in and they said that they wanted me to use a shampoo that they brought in because he had had an allergic reaction to something that was used last time. Well, this was the first I heard of it.
Right.
So I said, well, tell me more. And they said that they had to take him to the vet because the insides of his ears were just raging red.
Uh-oh.
Itchy and uncomfortable. And the vet said he suspected it was a shampoo reaction.
In years?
Yeah, I mean, give me a break. So anyway, you know, I listened to them. I repeated back. I got it. I took the shampoo. I looked at it. It was didn't look like too bad a product. It was a sulfate-free, mild pet shampoo, and I agreed to use it. And then as I was working on him and kind of thinking about, well, I was trying to think about what did we use last time? Yvonne and I figured we might have used the bright shampoo, Strosi's and bright shampoo. And it does have some, it has optical enhancers in it, but I've never known optical enhancers to be sensitizers. But then as I thought about this and about it being on the ears, I thought it's got to be our ear cleaner.
That's what I thought.
Yep. See, you were smarter than I, but I, you know what, the way that it happened, it was perfect, because when they came back, I said, you know, I was thinking about what we used last time, and I realized that it's much more likely that he was reacting to the ear cleaner, and it was the Lisa Leedy ear cleaner that has the Jensen Violet in it.
Oh.
And he may have reacted to the, you know, it's an intense violet dye. And violet dyes are always possible irritants.
And is it an antifungal?
It is antifungal.
Okay. That's just a precursor to something that may happen later in the show about antifungals. And carry on.
You know, so it worked out just fine, because then I was able to use the shampoo and take the shampoo and listen to their theory or their vet's theory.
And then you thought about it. People love that.
Yeah. Yeah. They love that. And I came back. I mean, I know they liked it, that when I said I've been thinking about, and I asked them that, if we ever have another post-grooming problem, would they please contact me right away so I can have a more clear memory of the event?
Yes.
You know, of what we did that day and what we used. And
For our lovely listeners, there is another way that you can kind of avoid that, the memory thing, and that is to write down the products you use on the dogs. Which is something that I do with every dog. So I'm a good record keeper, Barbara, not necessarily so much.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. But I love your way too. Your way is just fine. Yeah. Complain right away so that I can remember what I used.
and I've made a record of that, you know.
Yes, of course.
So now we know. But That was something. Then I had another. I have another thing that's going on that's troublesome.
Uh-oh.
And I don't exactly know how to deal with this. But this is the wealthy woman with the adorable Bichon mix who forgets her appointments a lot.
The dementia lady or whatever.
It is. You know, like, this is the problem, is that I really think she's slipping into early dementia. And a few things. Twice she's told me that she's gotten into her car to go someplace and gone someplace else. Forgotten where she was going to go.
Yeah, that's not good.
Because, you know, that's a clear sign. And then there was a big time where she thought her keys had been stolen. And week before last, she forgot her appointment, and I had called her the day before, and we were all in sync. And then she didn't show up. And then she called for an appointment, or I reached her, and she came in before her appointment and gave me $100. But she might have thought she had an appointment, on that day. And then this week, she showed up on Wednesday with the dog towards the end of the day. And I had to redirect it to Saturday. So, and she made it and was in pretty good shape. But she keeps saying she's going to see her brain doctor. And then when I asked her, she was supposed to see her brain doctor last Wednesday. And I asked her, did you see the doctor? And she says, oh, no, he doesn't do anything for me anyway.
In this situation, the generally recommended thing to do is contact family. But I don't think she has family you can contact, right?
She does have family, but I don't have any contact information. She's got a daughter. And, I've just been wondering, she's going to go to Texas to the big family soon. So maybe okay. But I think family ought to be supporting her a little better. You know, they're not. I think they're at the irritated stage.
Right. And having gone through many times over in my family, the thing to do if you can't contact family is to, sometimes you can get the doctor name from her, like, put, you know, play off that, oh, my friend is having some issues with some headaches. What is the name of your doctor that you see for your brain issues? And then you call and you alert the staff. They cannot tell you anything, but you can say to them, I have so-and-so as a client, and I've noticed some decline in her health and some issues, and I don't know how to contact her family, so I wanted to alert you guys because I think she is under your care. And then they are, as you know, the physician, they're obligated to take care of these people. And if they find out there's an issue, they will probably chase it down.
Okay.
They can't tell you they will. They can't tell you anything. But when you have family members with dementia, and someone is in need of contacting someone, it's usually the doctor that they go to. It's even the family doctor, the physician, anybody who's involved in this person's care has a responsibility to follow through if you call them and let them know that something like this is going on. So that's an option if you can't get family. But I think your idea of just waiting it out till she goes, I think that's the better way. But here's how I would combat that. I'm not sure how much you're invested. I know you've been helped this lady for a long time. I would call. I have a client who spaces off his appointment all the time. And we have discussed it a gazillion times. I text him 20 minutes before he's supposed to bring the dog in. You could call her before she has to bring the dog in.
Yeah, I do that sometimes. Yeah, I do that.
Every time. This guy would never make an appointment if I didn't remind him to leave the house with the dog at this particular time. And, that's a good, I get $85. It's a Tibetan Terrier. I'm attached to the dog. The guy's okay. We have opposing political views, but I live through that. I just smile and nod. It's fine. He's a good guy. I like him. And, I don't want to lose the dog. So I text him 20 minutes before. I text him the night before, and then I text him 20 minutes before his appointment. And then he sits in his car and waits for the dog. So that's another.
It was interesting yesterday because for the first time ever, she asked me if she could come in and sit down. So right by my gate at my counter on my side, I have a comfortable kind of semi-reclining chair that I use to ease my back and my stress. I can put my leg up on the footstool. And she asked if she could come in and sit in the chair. And she did. And then she told me that she just loved bringing the dog in, and she just loved the two of us and how we were with the animals. And so I thought that she just wanted to kind of bask in that. But then she brought up, she told us that the vet told her that Abby, her dog's life expectancy was 10 years old. And I asked her how old Abby was now, and she said she's 10. And she said that the vet told her that that was the life expectancy of her dog, and she's been worried ever since.
Oh, no.
And apparently, a Great Dane in the family somewhere on its 10th birthday had its birthday party and went outside, lied down, and died.
Oh.
You know, so I assured her that, I mean, I told her about Ms. Diva, who was a Bichon, was 18. And, you know, I said, remember Diva? I said, she was 18. And Abby is mostly a Bichon. So I don't think that 10 years is an accurate estimate. And she was greatly relieved. And I suspect that that's why she wanted to come in and sit down.
Yeah, I bet you're right.
Isn't that interesting? So,
yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
so here's... Yeah. Here's something to contemplate as stylists, right? Yes. We're stylists and we have styling options and we have ear styles and you can blunt cut or you can around them to the ear leather, right, or you can do a tassel. Yeah. Okay. How about penis cut styles?
Oh, what? What?
Well, it occurred to me that we could have the blunt cut.
Yeah.
Or the rounded, natural kind of smoothie.
Right.
Or the pointed cut or the wick.
Right. Very true.
So there you go. You know, optional penis styling. Well, penis styling options.
I've generally gone with wick or everything off. I've never really gone the in between.
Now I do the blunt cut. I do the blunt cut sometimes when I'm not really clipping the whole unit.
Is that like a mini wick?
No, it's there's not
just
too much
whacked
wick
off at the end.
Yeah, just whacked off, just squared off.
Okay.
You know,
I could see that.
Yep, just squared off. And no, the pointy tip is kind of a mini wick.
All right. So I kind of had a quasi, not a complaint, but I apparently quicked a dog I didn't know I had quicked and it bled in the house a little bit. So I got an adjustment on the appointment time. And by the way, Louie's nail was bleeding. I was like, oh, crap. So I used all of the tools that we had just gone over the week before. And I said, oh, my gosh, I hate it when that happens. Oh, dear, do I owe you a carpet cleaning? Oh, my, if I'd have known that it happened, I certainly would have let you know. My deep apologies. I'm so sorry. How about this appointment date? How about the 19th instead of the 21st? And again, I'm really apologize for getting your carpet dirty. Let me know if I owe you anything. So I haven't looked at my email. I don't know what she said, but darn it, I hate when that happens. And that was the dog that I was telling you about before we got on air, Barbara, where I did a bad foot, one foot.
Well, you know what? We had a similar situation, but we cut it off at the pass because we had, it was Norman, the Norwich Terrier, and he comes in for what I call a hybrid strip, which is you strip some and you do a comb over on some, because he's an older gentleman and he can't withstand a full stripping anymore. But I did his back nails and I hit a quick and he would not let me put any quick stop on it. I mean, he was just a instant wrestling match. And so I put him up and before we sent him out, I had Yvonne hold him and I quick stopped the nail. And I said, wait, and so I told her that we had done that. And then just shortly after he left, Yvonne was up front and she noticed a couple of drops of blood.
Oh, I hate that.
On the other side of the counter. And we called the owner. I called the owner and said, is Norm's nail still bleeding? And she said, yes, I put a sock on it.
That's creative.
I said, well, that's good. And you might also stick it in a antiperspirant deodorant stick, and that might help stop it. And she says, well, I think I have some of that stuff you're supposed to use somewhere around here. And I say, yeah, that would work, but I'm sorry, and da-da-da. But we kind of cut the complaint off because at least we acknowledged the offense, you know.
Yes. And, well, okay, here's what she wrote. She said December 19th at 10:30 would be good. I have cut his nails too close myself. He has oversized nails for his body. I just wanted you to be aware. Thanks, Diane. So she reaffirmed my affirmation. What a nice lady. All right.
Yeah, well, she is a nice lady.
Yeah, that ended well.
With a nice dog.
You know who else is are nice? I actually really appreciate the doodle people.
Yeah.
Especially the special needs doodle people. Because they get these dogs, and I've got a bunch of shy and nervous dogs that don't do well in grooming shops that have found me through the Doodle Network. What is that? How do they know each other? How does that spread so quickly? I've cut everybody off. I've got no more room for any new clients, but I did this one because, as I've always said, a vet referral, I will always take a vet referral. I got a vet referral from a vet I worked at in 1998.
Oh my God.
My first grooming job, my first vet hospital, right after I came out of training. She was in training at the vet hospital as the vet. And I was on my very first job as a groomer. And she found me on Facebook through a client that had come in, and we hooked up then. And then she referred this little shy 26-pound golden doodle, which underneath the dog was all poodle. I know obviously there's something else in there, but that body was a little standard poodle underneath there. It was so interesting when I got her wet, and her name is Twinkie. I love that name.
That's cute.
And the lady, I mean, before I even arrived, she texted me and said, would you like a latte? We have goat milk or soy milk or regular milk. And I thought, oh, this is great. And then I arrived, and the dog was just great. And I was able to do, it had a lot of hair on it. It had a really beautifully scissored haircut. And I always underestimate my ability. So I came in and I said, you know, that's a beautiful haircut on your dog. There's a lot of hair on your dog. I am not the best scissorer. I'm really good at dog behavior. And I do a great, you know, the dogs are clean and they're good, but I am not the best scissorer. And she said, I don't care about it. She said, I don't care about the scissoring. And I said, okay, we're good. And the dog came out looking really good and not stressed at all, because it's just a much better situation. And then I got to my big doodle's house yesterday morning. I had a cancellation. I snuck them in before Christmas. He's like 90-pound golden doodle named Brody. And he's just huge and cool and silly and shy. And he really hates grooming. So they were using Danielle before. And I pulled up and he came running up. He gave me a wag and a lick. And then he turned around and ran behind the house and he wouldn't come back out. And the lady came out and she finally got some treats and lured him in the back of the house and then brought him out front. And he sat down at the front and he gave me the eye of disdain. I don't really want to go. I didn't really want a particular bath today. And so I said, don't you worry. I said, you go ahead inside and I'll get him to the trailer. So I sat down and we had a little talk and I gave him a cuddle, you know, and a little belly rub. And we talked a little bit more. And then he hopped right in the grooming trailer. No struggle at all. She had to drag him in from the back of the house. We finished the groom and I went back in the house. And I said, after you closed the door, she said, I know. I was watching through the window. I can't believe you spent that much time with him. You are so cool. And I was like, ah, validation. I love it. I love it. So that was cool. Plus the Christmas tips, or I should call them holiday, because we're not there yet. I don't usually generally use that term till after Thanksgiving. The holiday tips have started to roll in at my house from the new people. And apparently I'm doing okay. They seem to like me. The new people are doing good. I'm doing okay with them. Now that I have cut the client base off, all of my new people insecurities are gone, because now there's no more new people. I'm good. Everything good?
Good.
Yeah, so that's about all that went on this week. It's been busy. Oh, wait, one more kind of monumental thing happened. For those of you who don't know my history, I started gymnastics at the age of 5 and went all the way through college. And in the course of that, I have pretty much wrecked my bone structure from the waist down. My knees and my ankles are shot. My feet are shot. My got lots of things going on. And it was looking like I was going to have a surgery to fix my peroneal tendon, which is the one that goes behind your ankle on the outside of your foot and threads through two ligaments in there. And if that particular tendon shreds beyond repair, there's no way to fix it. That one's just gone. And it's all of your stability for standing when you get older, especially. And so I went and had an MRI, and I went back into the orthopedic surgeon to get the review. And it was quite an interesting visit because I think he thought he was going to be delivering me crushing news. And he sat me down and he said, well, I've looked at your MRI and it turns out that your tendon is not torn that badly. It really doesn't have anything to do with the swelling that's around your ankle. And so we're not going to need to do surgery on that. But your ankle is pretty much completely destroyed. The only way to fix it, we can't even do any cleanup on your ankle. The only way to fix it is a full ankle replacement. And I went, I don't need surgery. I'm so happy. I don't need surgery.
But isn't a full ankle replacement surgery?
I'm not doing that. I can stand on it now.
Okay.
He said you can't do any more damage. It's shot. It's kaput. Poop. No way to fix it other than a joint replacement. So have at it. Wreck the rest of it. Stand on it. Use the ankle braces and just keep going. My other ankle's the same. I know the feeling. So at least I don't have to have surgery and screw all of my new people out of the holidays.
Great. Good. Okay. So what do you have to do to survive the holidays?
Oh, I've just got to keep wearing these little ankle braces that you'll see when I come down to visit.
Okay.
And, you know, orthotics and ice and all that stuff. But it's nothing that I wasn't aware of before. The only thing that I was afraid of was that tendon would break and I wouldn't be able to stand. But I can stand on pain. Pain is just pain. I can live with that. That's no big deal. So speaking of pain, actually speaking of pain, this has nothing to do with pain at all, except for pain in the wallet. The folks over in other countries were asking for a way to donate. So I did set up a Patreon account, and I don't think I had mentioned it. I don't even think I had got it rolling last time, but we have a Patreon account. Do you know what a Patreon account is?
No, tell me, Susie.
Okay, so Patreon is a way that you can support the people who put out podcast content. So, you know, we don't want to charge for the show in any way. That's not the point. We do the webinars, we charge for those, we'll do some videos, maybe we'll put a fee on those. But the podcast, that's just a thing we do out of the love and joy of our heart. But it's cost me money and it is time consuming. I spend probably 4 hours editing a 1 hour show during the week. If you guys ever were looking for a way to show your appreciation kind of in a more repetitive manner, you can subscribe to the Patreon account. And the deal is we're supposed to come up with neat little like gifts or goals or something like that, that will inspire people to then donate money monthly. And you can start it and stop it anytime you want. And if you're regular podcast listeners, lots of podcasts have Patreon accounts. We are now on the bandwagon with a Patreon account. So if you guys should choose to, then you can do as little as a dollar a month. That's 12 bucks a year. I think we put out enough content to give us 12 bucks a year occasionally, right? Huh? What do you think?
Does it hook up with your PayPal or anything? Or how does it work? Does it send you a reminder?
Nope, it just automatically takes out whatever you subscribe. So you agree to pay a dollar a month, which is I am a supporter of Coaster Radio. It's my favorite theme park podcast. They do a lot of extra editing and they do voices and characters and it's really fun. And they put a lot of time into the podcast and they don't make anything off that podcast. And just like me, they've got to put out cash to host it and to keep the archives up and stuff like that. So I give them a buck a month. a buck a month. It just comes out automatically once a month, and Coaster Radio gets $12 for being Coaster Radio. So if you guys want to support us for being the Groom Pod and for bringing you this fantastic content, you can go to the Patreon account. Let's stop and hear from Best Shot, and then we'll go to our first appointment, which is all about cutting out mats and cutting up mats. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out BestShotPet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's BestShotPet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. All right, Barbara. So I went back to the house that I did the Asian fusion haircut on, and I did not like the way it grew out. And luckily, they didn't like the way it grew out either. So off it came yesterday. But I got in there, and this is a puppy that was supposedly a Maltese, but it looks a lot like a Yorkie mix. So maybe it's a Yorkie Maltese, but it's definitely a Yorkie mix. So it's little, it's got long, stringy hair, and I left the legs long. So there were a bunch of these weird little tangles. The dog was in overall pretty good shape, but there were tangles and mats in some odd places, the under the arm, but right behind the elbow. So not underneath the armpit. I'm pointing at my armpit and lifting my arm because Barbara can see me. I recognize that it really doesn't help you guys out there in internet land, but the underarm didn't have a mat, but right behind the elbow where the action is, that had a really weird mat. So I opted to cut some of those out instead of trying to brush them out. And this is a puppy. It's a puppy. I didn't really want to have to brush out a yucky matted tangle underneath the elbow on a puppy. So I cut it out. Do you ever opt for that option?
Well, I do, and I did yesterday. So we're on the same page. Well, you know, and I'll tell you that I was taught to never do that, to never big holes in the coat. It was kind of an all or nothing.
I left a substantial hole behind this dog's elbow.
All rules have exceptions. I don't have hardly anything totally in stone, you know, and so yesterday I was working on Milton the Schnauzer puppy, who can't hardly tolerate any grooming. So of course they haven't been doing anything at home, and all of his furnishings were matted to some degree. And what I did first of all, I just rough cut before the bath, and we were running into crunch time in the afternoon anyway, and Milton was in the crate literally screaming because he wanted attention. So I put him on my table. Yeah, so I pre-groomed him as much as I could. Oh, Susie, you gotta know, we're still having such a problem with him. And I had front and rear restraints. I had a flank strap. I had a noose with a fixed loop tied to the grooming pole and cross tied with a gentle leader. And he kept pawing his way out of the gentle leader. But anyway, what I did was, before I addressed any of the mats, I just rough cut the legs. I said, it's too long anyway. I'm going to scissor this anyway. Why don't I just rough cut it and see if some of that matting doesn't break up then with the bath? And it worked pretty well on his rear legs. I can work on his rear end. It's his whole front quarters that he's real awful about. And on his front leg, as we were drying him and trying to brush him out, there was just a golf ball size thing, you know, and he was just screaming and bucking and carrying on again, all cross-tied and everything. And I just took the trimmers and cut under it as best I could. I couldn't even do a good job of clipping out a golf ball mat because he was so up in the air. I don't know. I would have to have a table with leg clamps to keep I fantasize about this. Oh, if I only had some little bracelet cuffs to just, no, you know, and I thought about trying to put him in the
hammock.
Yeah, but I don't know how it even get, but then I, you know, like I had trouble just doing the pattern with the 7-blade.
So you handle him? I mean, if you're not grooming him, is he handleable? Can you feed him into the hammock?
I can handle him. I could get him into the hammock.
I would start in the hammock. I would absolutely start in the hammock and spot clip out all of those mats.
From the legs?
Yep. Yeah. While you've got his in, if you can muzzle him so that you can get in there and safely get those mats out of there before you end up having to do a nudie.
I know. I told them to that they might want to take their holiday pictures now.
Good point. Nice work. Yes. Yes.
Because the thing of it is, they were there. They came early.
Oh.
Here I've got the screaming. And so I said, I hope you don't think we're torturing Milton. I said, we're about to start to try to do his head. If you hear screaming, they totally knew. See, yeah. I mean, it's not a secret. I mean, they can't touch him with a brush. I'm sure they can't touch him with a brush because they don't.
Oh, gosh. Well, I don't suppose he's going to get to come in when I'm there, is he?
Well, he might.
Because that's 2 weeks.
It's 2 weeks, Susie.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I don't have my book right here, but I could have them bring him in. You know, I could tell them that my expert was coming.
Yeah, your expert. Yes. I guess. Yes, absolutely. And you're at the point where maybe you're going to have to modify the haircut on the legs.
You know, I told them that I definitely am going to have to do some more clipping out. Yeah. But
So how did you clip those mats out? What's your technique? Do you have a technique? I've got a technique.
I just, what do you mean? How? Any way I could, believe me.
Okay, let's pretend we're talking about a cooperative dog.
Okay.
How would you attack a cooperative dog's tight mat on a front wrist or something like that?
Well, I would separate it out from the hair that's not matted so that I know exactly where it is. And I would probably start from the bottom up.
What I do, and I just had a thought as you were, a thought that I've never thought. I think I might wet the hair down around the mat so I could see the mat, like take a little spray and then part the hair around the mat. But I never had to do that. What I do, though, is I hack under it with the comb. So I get the comb stuck between the mat and the dog's leg.
Yeah.
And then I bring this my tiny straights up and I just nip away on top of the comb so that I'm nowhere near the dog's skin. And I've got a little bit of barrier. So there's a little bit of hair between. And most of the time I can work the comb in there with product if I need to. And then I just cut the mat over the top of the comb. Did you happen to see the horrible, horrible picture of the poodle that the owner cut all the mats out? It was cut in 1,000 places on the dog. Did you see that?
No, I missed that.
Oh, it was horrible. And people were talking about abuse charges for this owner, but they probably just went in and pulled the mats up and cut and left these huge gaping wounds on this poor little black dog. Oh, it was awful. Do you do the comb?
They actually cut the dog.
Yep. Yeah, in about 1,000 places.
No. I never just whack with the scissors. You see, if I can't see it, I'll use the clippers and just go underneath and to the skin, you know. But if I can see it, no, I haven't ever used the comb, but
it's a safeguard for owners.
If
there's going to be a period of time where they want to maintain their dog themselves, or they're going out of town or whatever, and they're going to need to get a mat out, I always stress put a metal comb between the mat and the dog's skin, and then I show them how to do it and then cut on top of the metal comb, because then there's no risk of getting the skin.
Yeah, see, it's what happens, and I've explained this to people before, is that if you take a hold of the mat and you pull on it, you pull the skin up too. So where the skin was, if you scissor where the skin was before you held the mat out, you might be doing the skin, cutting the skin. And it's the most common way that pet owners cut their dogs is holding
and cats.
And I did have one of the maybe two or three veterinary emergency, we've got to take the dog to the vet now from the grooming table, was when one of my employees did that. She pulled, it was a behind the ear golf ball kind of mat, and she held the mat with one hand and went at the scissors across the grain, and a big, you know, it was four or five stitches gash occurred.
Ouch. You can also break that mat apart, right? You kind of divide and conquer.
Yeah, so I like to divide and conquer. And there, in that case, you want to use your scissors straight down, pointed down, and you can slice a mat in half, thirds, fourths, eighths, and then you have a better chance of brushing it out.
Right, parallel to the skin, right?
Parallel to the skin, not crosswise, because that's where, you know, that's where you... But see, what I did is I just free scissored while the dog was standing there. I just trimmed all the legs. So I was cutting across some mats, but not in a way that I was pulling the skin. I was just scissoring them, and that did break up some matting and allowed us to save a little bit more. But Milton's legs his front legs are a crisis, and there's no way I could even get a comb under that, Susie. I mean, he's just flailing and screaming so, and
I know,
and you should see us when I'm just trying to do the sides of his face, and Yvonne is cradling him and holding him against herself and soothing him and everything. And as soon as I move in with the scissors, he's just like, he is just so wants to suicide on my scissors.
Yeah, that's no good.
It's really hard. And I,
there are dogs that just sometimes you just cannot do. And sometimes it's just who they are.
Well, you know what the wife said, as I, you know, I mean, and I'm sure they heard us all. And I finally said the last, he screamed and I said, that's the last scream. We're done. And she said, and I went out to take the money, charged them $70.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah. I mean, look,
that's crazy.
They didn't blink. I said, it's going to be $70 a day. And the husband said, right. And he takes the dog out and says to her, be sure you tip her.
They know.
So they know. But the wife said, what are we going to do? We might have to just like knock him out for every grooming. And I said, well, a tranquilizer is an option.
Yeah.
You know, a sedative. A sedative is an option. And this is the kind of a dog where he's a puppy, for heaven's sakes. Usually they surrender after one or two times of struggling and this hysterical screaming, and they find out it's not such a big thing, and they surrender, and you can get it done.
Yes.
But there's been very little forward movement with this okay. dog.
Well, interesting. The Milton discussion. Is it? Are we talking about mats? Are we talking about Milton? We're talking about Milton's mats.
Milton's mats. I know. I had the same thing. I'm saying, gee, they're going to wonder why did we call this discussion of mats. So, yes, I will cut across mats if I'm free scissoring a dog before the bath.
Right, because then you can use the products and air and blast that. Because if you cut off the tangled end, sometimes the rest of it is free flowing.
Yeah, sometimes the rest of it will break up with the air. And I will slice mats lengthwise parallel to the skin, scissors parallel to the skin. If I can, another thing that I'm going to try to get Yvonne to start using is the mat splitter that looks like a letter opener.
Yep. I've got a whole box of those.
And you can buy those really cheap from Groomers Mall. And I have several of them.
They're great.
And I need to, I need to remind her. It's funny how we let go of tools and techniques and kind of forget about them. But I'm going to urge her to start doing that.
Yeah, sometimes you don't have to fully remove the mat. If you cut it apart and you use your products, you can get through it that way.
Yeah, and I've got another dog. I did another dog yesterday where I clipped out mats. She's a Lhasa with a horrible skin, chronic skin problems.
Oh yeah.
And she just licks herself and chews herself, and of course her whole underbelly we clip out, but her legs get felted to the core, and we reach a point every year where I start, and I'm not gonna cut down the whole dog. I mean, you know what? Mostly what they see of this dog is her laying around with her, she tucks her little legs in. So they just see this little mop size thing, and the fact that she's got chicken legs. But she's approaching her annual chicken leg look. I had to get the backs of the legs yesterday, and I'll probably get the fronts next time.
I feel bad for those guys.
Yeah, but you see, I don't, and so there's a time and a place for everything, including a breaking of the rules. And I will cut out a mat. I've cut out flank mats too and left a hole on a doodle. Yep. On a doodle. And so what? It grows back. And
yep. Cool. I think that covers that pretty well.
More
you good
than
with
well.
That? Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Like we chewed that up
and split it up.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Let's hear from South Park Professional Pet Products, and then we're going back to school. Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5 ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars.
Groomers, take your seats. School is about to begin.
All right, Barbara, back to school time. Veterinary vocabulary today. How ironic is antifungal? And you were talking about the antifungal. What is it called? Jensen Violet? Jensen Violet. So an antifungal is a substance that kills or inhibits the growth of fungi. The reason this is important to us is because when we go talk to the vet after we find a ringworm case, we want to sound like we know what we're talking about. So ringworm is a fungus and it is cured by an antifungal. So there you go.
Okay, so there's another important thing about ringworm.
Yes.
It's a spore.
Oh, yes, yes.
It's a spore and that makes it hard to kill with a disinfectant.
And good point.
Not all disinfectants are effective against spores. So if ringworm is an issue, it's not so much an issue for me because I don't groom too many cats and I've never had ringworm in my family. Don't see it very often. So I don't feel like I need a disinfectant that kill spores with every single cleaning that
right.
I do. But it's an important question to ask about a disinfectant. Does it kill spores? When I make up my chart, which I'm getting closer to as we continue this series, we'll talk about that. We'll see it on the chart and I will include a yes or no response to that. So can I move into the definition du jour?
It is definition du jour time, my dear.
Okay, I'm going to talk today about accelerated hydrogen peroxide because accelerated hydrogen peroxide is effective against most spores.
You guys, you have no idea. We did not pre-discuss this. I didn't say, gee, I'm going to talk about antifungals and we're going to discuss ringworm, and Barbara's definition is going to roll right into that. I had no idea. This is the magic of live podcasting.
It's magic.
Yes,
okay,
it is.
Okay, so, you know, I'm in like with accelerated hydrogen peroxide. And I'm going to tell y'all what the difference between regular, well, we all know that regular hydrogen peroxide is like H2O2.
Yes.
But accelerated hydrogen peroxide has additional surfactants, surface acting agents, and so it can cleanse, and chelating agents that reduces the metal content and or the hardness of the water. So the chelating agent binds with the metals in your environment there, and it has surface acting agents. So AHP, accelerated hydrogen peroxide, is itself a copyrighted product.
So is it OxyClean? Is that what we're talking about?
No, that's an oxygen. Okay. That's not it. Although Clorox does put out a hydrogen peroxide. Now, the Clorox preparation appears to be different. They have their own improved hydrogen peroxide, which is like accelerated hydrogen peroxide, but it's not the trademarked blend. It's their own blend, okay? And it took me a little while to figure this out, because at first I thought the Clorox product was just plain hydrogen peroxide, dilute hydrogen peroxide. But no, they say it's improved hydrogen peroxide. They say that it's got surface acting agents and a chelating agent. So it's the same kind of a blend, but it's their own blend. And I noticed that in looking at different brands of improved or accelerated hydrogen peroxide disinfectants, the Clorox ready to use 32 ounce spray is 1.4% hydrogen peroxide. The Rescue, which is the one that's sold to veterinary clinics,
yeah.
Rescue 32 ounces ready to use is 0.5%. Not as strong, but the amount of, you know, like we don't really, but the amount of, there might be a different dilution ratio in making up those two products. It's really hard to say, but it's not exactly the same, but it's in the same family. There's another name, Diversi. Diversi is 0.5%. So most of these veterinary clinic and shelter products are this 0.5% accelerated hydrogen peroxide. Clorox is 1.4% improved hydrogen peroxide. This is my favorite so far, my favorite disinfectant so far, because it has very little harmful effects.
But it kills spores.
But it kills some spores. Now, whether or not, I don't think it kills all ringworm. There's several varieties of ringworm. It's kind of like a kennel cough vaccine. Doesn't get necessarily all. But, it will kill mold. Well, I'm interested in that because I've got some mold issues in my home and in my shop in the ceiling. And I might try a little spraying with accelerated hydrogen peroxide, because I think it might have to do with my not feeling well.
Oh, sure. I've got a good test case out there in the trailer in the walls as well.
Yeah.
I usually use bleach, yeah, but I can try something else.
Yeah, I think accelerated hydrogen peroxide is a great bleach alternative. It's not going to harm your metals, although it may be not advised to use on soft metals like aluminum or copper, but it's not going to hurt your equipment. It's not going to hurt your floor. It doesn't build up like the quats build up on your floor. And another thing that I ran into in reading the shelter disinfecting guys, you kind of have to go in different directions. I go and see what they're using in the hospital. I go see what they're using in the kennel, you know, and then you kind of find the different levels of disinfecting that you want to talk about, but you don't have to rinse it. You don't have to pre-clean. And you don't have to rinse. The quats, if you don't rinse after using the quats, they build up. And they're saying that if you're mopping with a quaternary solution, you're picking up dirt and you're actually putting it back down.
Oh, dear. That's not good.
That's not good. So that doesn't seem to be a problem with accelerated hydrogen peroxide. And
how about inhaled risk?
None.
Well, that's a plus right there.
They're just, and I did find another negative, another criticism on the phenols. Here it says, I'm going to quote, "Phenols are one example of an organic compound that should never be used in a shelter setting."
I've heard that.
"Phenols are found in cleaning supplies that contain pine oil like pine salt. Cats are particularly sensitive to phenols. When inhaled, phenols can cause pulmonary edema and respiratory irritation. If swallowed, ulceration of the gastrointestinal tract can result. Cats also suffer from vomiting, liver damage, and central nervous system depression."
No reason to even have that stuff around.
So let's just put out the warning about phenols. You just can't talk about them as open-mindedly as you can about other disinfectant products that you could use in your grooming shop environment. I think accelerated hydrogen peroxide is a very good choice. And so far, of the things that we've discussed, Clorox or bleach and quats and phenols, accelerated hydrogen peroxide stands out as probably the most effective, least harmful, and safe.
Remind me again where that barbicide, is that what it's called? Barbicide. What is that?
It's a quat. It's the typical quat most often found in disinfectants, floor disinfectants and stuff. Now, see, another thing about, they add surface acting agents to the hydrogen peroxide, but no fragrances.
Oh.
You do not find these products with fragrances, and that's because fragrances mask odors. Clean is odorless. And so you really don't need to be adding fragrances. And you know, I love fragrances. I'm a smeller, you know. Yes. I like them. You could probably find 100 fragrance oils in my home here. Some of them just little 2 ounce bottles, of course. But I love fragrances. But I think that we overuse fragrances so much that we're starting to have more fragrance sensitivity reactions and that kind of thing in humans and probably in pets as well. So again, if you want something to smell good, like everybody's all onto the Mrs. Meyer's clove, orange and clove cleaner for the holidays. Well, that's okay. You can indulge in that after you use your accelerated hydrogen peroxide to actually get in the kettles. And this stuff comes in wipes, in sprays, and in concentrated in gallons. So there you go.
How do we recognize it?
How do we recognize
it? Is it labeled accelerated hydrogen peroxide and or advanced hydrogen peroxide?
Yeah, in the label, it will reveal it. Now, in accelerated hydrogen peroxide will have the trademark on it somewhere. Okay. One of the main names is Rescue.
Okay.
And you know what? You can get this on Amazon.
Oh, good. Now, good idea.
The deal is you pay more for it on Amazon. The accelerated hydrogen peroxide is more costly than other disinfectants.
All right.
But I think it's more effective and less harmful.
Okay.
But it will cost you. You can get a 32-ounce spray, and I'm gonna get them for $18.99 on Amazon Prime.
That is a little pricey, but if it works and it's safer for the environment, and even more importantly, safer for us and the dogs, I think it's worth it.
See, this is something that I would feel comfortable cleaning cages with.
Good. Excellent. Okay. And go through our website, www.thegroompod.com. Click on the Amazon banner and you can find it that way. And then we get a teeny tiny, teeny little percentage of what you buy. You can do this with any product you buy on Amazon or even digital media or any of the services that Amazon provides that are not second party services. I believe that we get a little teeny tiny kickback from it. So go to our website, click on the Amazon button and help support the Groom Pod. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. Okay, Barbara, at the table segment, doing pads. Here's my first question. When do you do the pads?
Well, that's a really interesting question because one of the interesting things that happened to me when my first trip to the UK was I spent some time at a grooming school in the UK and they did not clip out pads
at all. Did they level
They leveled off the hair. They scissored the bottom of the foot level. But which is dangerous, by the way. You know, have you ever sliced a pad?
Yes.
Me too.
Yeah, that's not fun.
It's not fun because it doesn't
clot.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's a bad one.
That's a bad one. It is a bad one. And that skin looks tough, but it's not as our scissors are sharp.
Yes, they are.
You know, so you need to be very careful that way.
So they kind of go level, but they don't scoop.
Yeah, no, they don't. They didn't back then. Now, I don't know if they've changed because that was a good 20 years ago. And it was with the thought that it was protection for the feet.
It is until it makes the big mat in there.
Yeah, and then what does that feel like?
You know, a rock.
Like a rock in your sock.
Yes.
Who wants that? I do kind of a fast clip on my pads, unless there's a problem, and then I'll do a more. I mean, I think I'm fairly thorough, but sometimes in the summertime, I do more of a leveling off, unless I think they're getting stickers or something in their feet.
What I do is I used to do pads before the bath. Now, of course, I don't do pads before the bath. They do them after the bath. So I let whatever's in there soak off a little bit. So then after the bath, I do a little foot massage and I blast it in there with my HydroSurge so I loosen anything up. Then when I'm drying the dogs, I pick the feet up and I blow dry in there and I have a look-see. And I look for problems and issues. I look for red skin. I look for mats. I look for even little mats that may become big mats if I don't catch them. And then afterwards, probably first, which is probably not the best way to go about it, I take that foot, 40 blade, clipper vac, and I just level it off. And if there's something in there, I'll dig it out. But if I'm not digging out anything, I'm leveling it off with the clipper vac.
Okay.
Sometimes in the pads, it's easy to nick them, though, because there's a bunch of like webbing in there sometimes. I've nicked pads. I feel horrible when I nick in between the pads.
I've done that too, and I usually reach for the gold bond.
Yes.
When I do that. Yeah, I reach for the gold bond. I say I'm sorry.
Yes. Yeah, and you know it's going to get itchy and they're going to lick it. And so I always try to warn the client that I've done that.
I always apologize to the dog when I draw blood. I don't know. It's just, you know, oh, so sorry. And then I don't dwell on it. I don't want to give the dog some reason to become over dramatized about a little boo-boo.
Some dogs really don't like it when you mess around underneath there too. That's just a weird spot. Do you ever hook the toenails around your fingers so that you can open the pads up?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great trick. If you guys don't know, maybe that's one of those things we can show you on video.
Yeah, it doesn't even have to be hooking, but if you're holding the pad facing you, you can use your thumb to just press on the nails, and that will open up the foot pad more. Yeah, I do that.
Yeah, and oftentimes the owners don't recognize that if the dog's limping a little bit or it seems like he's licking at their foot, there's something going on in those pads, and it's a good opportunity to take a little look in there and alert the owners if there's it's a common spot for fungal infections, like yeast and stuff, because especially here in the Northwest, the dog's feet are always wet. And then, of course, you have the lickers who just lick constantly for self-soothing, and then they end up with infections in their little toes. Those too. Yeah, I think that's it. Is there anything else we should discuss about pads? Because I think we've got a show in the can here.
No, it's an important part of our protocol. And I think that even if we do decide not to dig out every pad for every groom, we want to keep an eye out for problems, or at least feel it under there. And yeah, I usually do that first too, because I like to do feet first.
Yeah, I also don't want them standing on a pebble. If there's a big mat in there, I don't want them to have to stand on that. It'll make them uncomfortable. So I'm always looking for that.
There are times where I don't do the feet first. I don't mess around with the feet first. And that's a new dog. And this is because, I know a lot of groomers that do the nails first. I never do the nails first, especially not on a new dog, because feet are a control issue. Feet are a dominance issue. Feet are sometimes an issue. And I don't want to just go there right on the first date.
Hi, nice to meet you. Wow.
Let me amputate your toenails, you know.
Yes, I think you're making a good point.
Yeah, no. So when I don't know the dog doesn't know me, I do kind of easy pee. I don't do the head first or the feet first.
Right. Go somewhere nice, like clip the pattern into the jacket.
Right. That's the easiest thing. That kind of identifies what we're doing, you know.
Yep. Well, okay, let's wrap this show up. And I want to hope that you guys all had a good Thanksgiving. I know I probably did, because we're going out. I'm looking forward to going out. It's going to be good. Then we'll have a regularly scheduled show. We might even review a book or maybe some shears, or who knows what's going to happen. You can never tell here on the Groom Pod. It's such an exciting place. All right, thanks for being here. Barbara, thank you for being here. We will see you next week on the Groom Pod. Happy grooming, everybody. See you then. Bye-bye now.
Bye, groomers. See ya.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at the Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.